If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know your Bible says that the first part of it probably says revelation of St. John the Divine, but it's really a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that is the first words of chapter 1, verse 1. It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so as we go now to chapter 20, we find that things are beginning to gear down. The Lord is going to take care of the arch enemy as we read tonight. And I enjoy reading these verses about the devil. Now, I don't enjoy the devil. I don't enjoy reading about him. But I enjoy this passage of Scripture about the devil. Because here in these verses we find the culmination, we find the end of that great adversary that we have, that Peter tells us is our great adversary, the devil. We'll be looking also in 1 Peter tonight. But look in verse 1, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. We mentioned this morning about that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ we call the millennial reign. And while Jesus is ruling from the throne of David and the city of David, the devil is going to be bound. And the Scripture says here he's placed in a bottomless pit. And I've mentioned this before, I like the words there, and shut him up. He's no longer able to deal. He's no longer able to talk. He's no longer able to do anything. When the Lord puts him in the bottomless pit, he shuts him up and he sets a seal upon him. And it says he's going to he's going to be there for 1,000 years. And then after that, he's going to be loose just for a little season. Look at verse number 7 of this same chapter, and we come to the loosing of Satan in this verse. Chapter 20 covers a lot of period of time in just a few verses. Verse number 7 says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Now, where's his prison? It's the bottomless pit, where we find there in verse number 1 and 2. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever." Here we find the end of the activity of the wicked one. That old Satan, the Lucifer. A lot of names that the Scripture calls him. And in these first verses, we find he's put in the bottomless pit. He's chained there. And the Scripture says he's going to be there for that 1,000-year period, and then will be loose just for a little time. And then God gives us just a glimpse of what takes place when he is loose. Now, you must remember that during this 1,000-year reign of Christ, there is no open rebellion against the Lord. He is the ruler. He is the potentate, as we mentioned this morning. He is the King of kings, Lord of lords, and there's no one fighting against him. I believe things revert back pretty much like the Lord desired them to be in the Garden of Eden during that time, because the sin is no longer open. Rebellion is no longer there. But the heart of man does not change. The heart of man still is considering himself and how that he can be greater than God. And so these 1,000 years go on, and Satan is loosed, and he goes out and does the very same thing that he did before and as he's doing now. And the Scripture says here that he deceives. The Scripture tells us here that he deceived the nations. And he goes and he compassed the earth. They go out, he deceives the nation and the four corners of the earth. And he names them Gog and Magog. We find that listed in the book of Ezekiel. These are the two of the main characters to the main places and people listed even in the tribulation time, and now they rise up again against, the Bible says here, against and makes battle with the saints of God. And somebody says this is the final battle. I beg to differ. There's no battle here. There's no battle. There's no. There may be an army, but there's no battle. And the Bible says here they go up the breadth of the earth and they compass the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and the fire of God came down from heaven and devoured them. There's no battle there. God takes care of it. God destroys the enemies of the people of the Lord. And so the instigator of this is, of course, the devil. And the Bible says the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They've already been there 1,000 years. They're cast in the bottomless pit there at the end of the tribulation. 1,000 years has passed. They've been there. And they're in the eternal fire and brimstone. So the Lord takes the devil and casts him there into the lake of fire. And he is tormented day and night forever and forever. The Bible says that hell has been made for the devil and his angels, and this is exactly where he's going to spend all of his eternity, as the Lord has placed him there and cast him in the lake of fire. I can visualize as the Lord comes in verse number 1. John says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. I can visualize in my little finite mind, here the angel of the Lord comes, and here's the devil saying, oh no, not now, not me. And he lays hold on that dragon, and he casts him into the bottomless pit. He shuts him up, and he sets a seal upon him that he's not going to deceive anybody else for 1,000 years. And he is there, and the deceiver is gone, and then, of course, let loose a little season as we've read. But I want us to think tonight concerning our adversary. I don't think we can preach too much on the adversary because we face him every day. I don't think we can spend too much time studying our enemy. He is the deceiver, as the Lord tells us here. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So we're dealing tonight with our adversary. And I don't believe we'll ever fully understand on this side of eternity the wickedness and the power of this one that's called our adversary. He certainly is an opponent before the people of God. An adversary is one that is always opposing, and he is that opponent. He is against us. He is against all that is good. He's against God. He's the arch enemy of God. He hates God and everything about Him. And so therefore he hates God's people and everything about them. So tonight we need to be aware that we have an adversary. And his desire is to destroy us and to defeat us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The only way you're going to resist the devil is in the faith. And it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so we want to look tonight about the adversary. I believe Peter knew much about the wickedness and the purpose and the power of Satan, as he had shifted and sifted Peter. The Lord told in the book of Luke, told Peter that Satan hath desired thee. He wants to sift you as wheat. And so who better could write about this formidable adversary than the Apostle Peter, that the devil desired to have and desired to destroy? And I thank God for the next verse there that says, Jesus told Peter, says, but I have prayed for thee. Oh, thank God tonight for the prayer of the Lord that helps us in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of trouble. We find there that he said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. As much as Satan hates us, God loves us. Thank God for that. As much as our adversary despises us, God desires us. He wants us. He desires to have us with him. And here in 1 Peter, Peter warns these Jewish believers concerning the person and the purpose and the power of our formidable adversary, the devil. He has borne the brunt of Satan's attack, and now he wants to continue to strengthen the brethren. And I believe the strengthening the brethren comes through the Word of God that the Lord has inspired here through the Holy Spirit for Peter to write. And he lets us know that we have an adversary, and we must understand that Satan's desire is to be our adversary. There's nothing about him that likes us. There's nothing about him that desires to help us. Everything the devil does is to harm and to hinder and to hurt the people of God. And we are in his crosshairs. We are there, and he is ready to fire at us. He is ready to destroy us. He is ready to shoot at us at any time. And we forget we have an adversary, and we wonder why everything's going the way it is. But we just simply need to realize that we have an enemy. He's a enemy. He's not a friend, and he does not even, most of the time, does not even try to convey himself as a friend. Now, he's a deceiver. He'll look good when he's not good, our adversary, our foe, and he is at enmity at his heart against God and God's people. Now, the Bible says here in 1 Peter that that we are to be vigilant, because our adversary, and he's identified as the devil, and he's identified as a roaring lion. He's a lion that roareth, and he's one that is a foe against the people of God. And we must realize that he is one that we must do battle with. The Bible says in Jude, a little book there right before Revelation, verse number 9 gives us a little bit of the power of Satan. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel was contending with the devil. He disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" And so here is the archangel Michael doing battle with the devil, and he had to have help from the Lord. "The Lord rebuke thee." And so we find that he is a foe against the people of God, and he's a roaring lion, and we are certainly no match for him. These folks that run around and say, "I command the devil." I don't think I can command the devil. I've heard some preachers on television, "Just command the devil to do this and he'll do it." No, I don't think so. We don't have that power. He's our enemy. He's our adversary. And if the archangel, if Michael, could not do battle and win without the help of the Lord, who do we think we are? And so we face him every day. He's our adversary. He walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to be sober and vigilant. We're to be at our right mind. The word sober there means to be aware. We are to be vigilant. We are to be understanding. We're to be busy warring against him, because he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is the devil. We hear a lot about the devil. "The devil made me do it," and all that stuff. No. Many times what we do, the devil has nothing to do with it. Our own flesh makes us do it. And we want to blame it on the devil. But the devil is our adversary. He is our enemy. He is the one who slanders. He's the one that falsely accuses. He's the one that deceives. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, 'Now has come the salvation, the power of the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down.'" Thank God there's a day when he's going to be cast down. We read about that. "And the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, who accused them before our God day and night." The accusations go forward from the wicked one day and night. And one day, John said, he's been brought down. He's been cast down. He's been destroyed. He is no longer the accuser. He's no longer the deceiver. And that's a place for shouting. The Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 9, "Satan answered Jehovah and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught?'" He's accusing Job. He's that accuser that comes before him. He's the one who withstands us. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Satan stood up against Israel." Satan stood up against Israel. He fights against the people of God. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Jehovah and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. So there's a lot in the Scripture about this character we call the devil. There's a lot in the Bible that tells us his demeanor and the things that he does. Here he is at the right hand of Joshua the high priest standing before Jehovah, and he is there at his right hand resisting him. Have you ever wondered why you can't get certain things done that need to be done? It could be because the devil is resisting you and he's fighting against you. Time and time again, the Apostle Paul said, Satan hindered us. He bothered us. He disrupted our plans. Sometimes our plans are disrupted and we think, what in the world's going on? It could just simply be our accuser, our adversary, is working his way to try to defeat us and try to destroy us. That verse there that I mentioned just a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says, wherefore we have desired to come to you, even I, Paul, both once and twice, and Satan has hindered us. I believe there's been times in my life that Satan hindered me. I believe probably you can think of things in your life that possibly Satan has hindered you in the work of the Lord and the things that you desired to get done, and you had every good intention and had everything in place, but yet it just seemed like it could not happen and would not happen. He's the devil. He's Satan. And he hinders and he destroys. He is cruel in all the things that he does. He hates God. The Bible calls him also that old serpent. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, as Satan has beguiled Eve, Paul says, I'm afraid he's going to do the same thing to you, you people of Corinth. And so he's cunning in his ways. Beguile is a word that just simply means he's subtle and he is cunning and he deceives. The devil, he doesn't tell truth. He usually tells a lie. And he usually will tell a half lie. Well, a half lie is all full lie. He'll put a little bit of lie and a whole lot of truth, and it's still a lie. And so we find here that Paul said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The things of the Lord are simple. But don't let your minds be corrupted by the wicked one, because he is there to trick and deceive and beguile. Genesis 3, that verse says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said. He puts a very strong question upon the word of the Lord. He's still doing that today. Did God really say that? Well, if he said it, did he really mean it? Well, what God said he meant, and we have before us what he said, and what we need to do is just accept it, believe it, and live by it. But the old serpent that's cunning and deceiving, he comes and begins to question us. And he said to Eve, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that? Yes, God really said that. And so we find that the devil comes and he plants questions and he plants thoughts of just deceiving things in our mind that puts a question upon the things of the Lord. He's that serpent. He's the one that is called a serpent. He beguiled Eve. He tricked Eve. Now the sin upon mankind is not blamed upon Eve. It's blamed upon Adam. Eve was beguiled. Adam chose of his own free will to sin against God. Eve was tricked and turned and twisted, but Adam took of the fruit. Adam sinned of his own freeness of thought and heart under the influence of the adversary, and therefore, as one man sinned, death has entered into this world. One man, Adam. Oh, but thank God there's another Adam. We have the second Adam. We have the last Adam. His name, Jesus Christ, and through him comes life and truth. He's called not only the devil, not only Satan, he's not only called a serpent, but here, what we read a moment ago, he's called the dragon. Now, dragon is another name that just describes cruelty. When you think of a dragon, our minds that we've seen so many things that depict and show to us a thought. The first thing we think of is an animal that's shooting fire from his nostrils and breathing smoke, and he looks cruel. Well, I doubt that's what the devil looks like, but he's cruel. And he's considered here to be and called a dragon because of his power and because of his cruelty. Revelation 12:12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time." There in the midst of the tribulation time, the dragon, the devil, has come down to them, knowing that he has just a short time. And how does he act toward them? Having great wrath. That's one of the attributes. That's one of the ways of the wicked one. 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You see, he can destroy us. He's our adversary. And he does everything he can to defeat us as a child of God. To deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's also called Lucifer. Lucifer is his angelic name. And Lucifer means light bearer. And he was one of the hosts of heaven. And he, according to the book of the Old Testament, Isaiah, and other places, we find that Lucifer said, "I'm going to be like God. I'm going to set myself up as God. I'll be worshipped as God." And he's the angel of light. No wonder he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." He can make himself look good. He can make himself look right. He can make himself and his actions look like it's the best thing in the world, when really and truly he's the worst thing, and he's the adversary. And so he's that light bearer that transforms himself through deception and destruction and gives us transformation. Ezekiel 28 gives us some things about this one called Lucifer. Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 28, verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub," talking about Lucifer now, "that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence and hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee in, as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst and the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty." So the Scripture tells us here that Lucifer was a beautiful being, a created cherub or a created angel. "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring thee, bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and I shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, and thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more." God says, even in the book of Ezekiel, "I'm going to destroy you." You had pride, and you was lifted up in pride, and your beauty, and your understanding. He talks about here his wisdom. All of those things worked in the pride of this man, or this angel called Lucifer. Of course, there was a rebellion in heaven. God cast him out, and a third part of the angelic host came with him. And so we find the enemy has made himself known, and God said, here's your end. Now the devil knows his end. God's already told him, "You're gonna, this is it." God hadn't told him when, because we don't know that yet, but he doesn't know it yet. But he knows his time is short. He knows what's going on. He knows what he's going to do. He's got to do quickly. And we hear people talk about today the devil's running rampant, and surely he is. But it's nothing in comparison to what he shall run during the tribulation when the Holy Spirit of God has been removed as a restrainer of wickedness. You see, when the child of God is removed, the Holy Spirit is taken out. The Holy Spirit lives within our heart. We are the bodies. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And when we are removed, when we are gathered unto Him, then that Holy Spirit goes with us, and no longer is sin restrained. The reason that wickedness is not any worse tonight than it is because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. He holds it back. He holds it back. Can you imagine what it'd be like when He's no longer there to restrain? As the old saying is, you ain't seen nothing yet. But God said, here's your end. I will cast thee to the ground. I'll bring you before kings, and they shall behold thee. They'll see your iniquities and your traffic. All the trafficking of the wicked one. God says, they'll see it, and they'll see you brought low. And I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth. He's our enemy, but he's the defeated foe. Satan is determined. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's determined in everything he does to destroy us. We read those verses a moment ago there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years expired, Satan shall be loose, and then God's going to cast him into the lake of fire that burneth forever, and he's going to be tormented day and night forever and forever. Thank God that's his end. And he is determined until then. You know, I have found that the devil never does give up. You fight him today and you win a battle today, and guess what? He's there tomorrow. He licks his wounds and he comes back at you just the way he was. You will beat him today, and then tomorrow he comes. And tomorrow you face him and you beat him then, and he comes back again. No wonder the Lord says not to become weary in well-doing. Because we're in a battle all the time. Somebody says, well, boy, I'm glad this is over. Well, hold on, because something's right around the corner. I'm glad this battle's over. Well, there's another one. Because he does not give up. He's relentless in his activities. He never gave up on the Lord. He always was trying to bring trouble to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. When the Lord defeated the devil and the temptation, the devil didn't just say, well, I'm whipped. The Scripture says he departed from him for a season. But you know what? He came right back at him again. Satan never gives up on us. Satan never gave up on Job. Satan never gave up on Peter. Satan never gave up on Paul. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. The devil never did give up. And guess what? He's not going to give up on me. And he's not going to give up on you. The battles we face today, we'll face different battles tomorrow. He seeks whom he may devour. If we devour something, we take it all. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I believe one of the main reasons the devil has such and causes such calamity in Christians' lives and in churches tonight is because we are not aware of his devices. We've sort of become at ease in Zion. We've sort of become nonchalantly doing our own thing, and we're just not aware of all the things the devil has. He's got a big arsenal. He doesn't just have fiery darts. He doesn't just have bullets. He's got everything. And he never does give up. He's relentless, and he comes at us so he may devour us. And Paul told these people of Corinth, he said, be careful lest Satan get an advantage That word advantage, that's important. If you're in a battle, you want the high ground because that's the advantage. If you are playing a game, you want to give the ball to your best player if it's basketball so you can have the advantage. And Satan has, if we're not careful, we'll let him take an advantage over us because we're not aware of his plans. I love to watch the workings and the ways of college basketball. I don't care much about professional. They're just a bunch of people overpaid doing toy games. But the college basketball is an art. And the coaches will scout the other teams. I'll guarantee you the Kentucky coach knows everything about every team in the Southeastern Conference that can be known. Why? He's got his scouts out there looking. Why is that? So he can have an advantage. So they're not going. He knows their plays. He knows everything they're doing. He sees how they act. He sees who they put the ball to. He sees all the actions that go on. Why? He does that, but so he can counteract that. So he can have an advantage. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't work. But I'll tell you what, with the Lord, it always works. If we'd let him show us and give us some things about the devil and put it in our heart and minds, we would certainly have an advantage. But Paul said that Satan could get an advantage of us because we're ignorant of his devices. We're ignorant of his lies. We're ignorant of his ways. We're ignorant of his cunning ways. What's some of the devices that we have in our heart that he uses? Well, I believe he uses temptation. If he could use that against the Lord, I'm sure he uses that against me. We're tempted. Now, the old song says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Temptation is not the sin, but yielding is the sin. And so he tempts us in every area. He uses our pride, our self-reliance. We think we're pretty good. We're doing all right. I can handle it. Boy, his device comes at us and his ways comes at us and our pride will defeat us. He comes to us through unforgiveness, unforgiven sin. He comes to us through and uses our anger. Don't say you don't have any because we all have it. And the devil can use that. That's one of his devices. He uses it against us. He uses us not knowing or sometimes not even acknowledging the truth. So the devil has a lot in his arsenal. He has a lot that he can devour us. He has a lot of ways. He has a lot of things that he can use. Oh, but thank God he's going to be defeated. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Somebody said, are you an overcomer? Already overcome. Why? Because he has overcome. And I'm in him, so therefore I'm an overcomer. It's not what I do, it's what he did for me on Calvary. And Satan will be defeated. We've read this tonight time and time again. How can we defeat him, though, before then? Before that time he's cast and put in the bottomless pit and chained there. How can we win the battle before he's done away with? Well, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. James 4:7. That's how you're going to fight. That's how you're going to win. You've got to resist him. Well, sometimes our resistance is low. You know, in this body that God gives, sometimes we don't have resistance in it, and everything that comes along, we get. Every sickness that's there, we catch. Because our resistance, our immune system is not functioning as it should. Well, the Lord tells us, the Apostle James tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's step one. Before you can ever resist, you got to submit. You got to be in the place where the Lord wants you and be submitted to the Lord. And then he says, not only do you submit yourselves therefore to God, but resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's not going to flee at your fighting. He's not going to flee when you put up your fist. He's not going to flee when you're doing battle. He's not going to flee when you say, I command you. But when you resist Him and the power and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Bible declares that He will flee from us. Resist Him steadfastly. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." That's why God gave us an armor. That's why God gave us ability. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, resist steadfastly in the faith. Ephesians 6:13. "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And by the way, that's God's truth. That's really only truth. Somebody says, "I want real truth." Well, the only real truth is right here in the book. So he says, "Gird about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness." By the way, that's the righteousness of God. That's the wholeness of life that comes upon us. And says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." That's serving the Lord. You see, it takes in the whole body of flesh. It takes everything about us. "Wherewith we should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Take the helmet of salvation. Put it on. The helmet of salvation. We know we're saved. We know God's done the work in our life. The helmet of salvation, that protects the mind, protects the things whereby we can think. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can't get away from that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I just put out beside that, that's praying hard. Saying, "Oh God, we've got to have your help." You see, the armor here is of no good if you leave off the prayer and supplication. Sometimes we read Ephesians chapter 6 and we stop off. We stop our reading where it says, "Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That's not the end of the statement. Praying always. With all power. Supplication. How? In the Spirit. And watching whereunto with all perseverance. I do believe in the perseverance of the saints. We will persevere. We have the power to do that by the Holy Spirit. I believe in the preservation, the perseverance of the child of God. We're gonna arrive where God intended us to arrive. He that has begun a good work in you will finish. He'll complete it. He'll fulfill it in our life. For all the saints, watching until He comes. May God help us tonight to know that we have an enemy. And he's not a fellow dressed up in a red outfit with a long tail and a pitchfork. That's how he... I believe the devil sort of enjoys us thinking about him like that. They say he says, "They don't even know what I look like." They're afraid of something that is imaginary. They're afraid of something that's not real. And they say, "That's the devil." Oh, no, no. He came to Eve in the Garden of Eden in subtlety. Very subtle. And we picture him as a snake there. If he was, he's a beautiful thing, because he was something to be desired. And so we find this one that we are in battle against, he's a real person. The devil is not a wicked force. He's a wicked person, personality. He's not just something that has come up from the back recesses of our mind. No, no, no. The devil, Satan, Lucifer, the wicked one, that old dragon, the serpent, he's real. If you don't think he's real, when you get to heaven, ask Eve how real he was. When you don't think he's real, ask the Lord how real was he that day as he tempted the Lord there 40 days and nights. After the Lord had gone through that 40 day and night period of no food, no water, the devil comes and says, "Why don't you turn these stones to bread?" See, he tempted him in the flesh. "Why don't you go up to the mountain and and look down on all the kingdoms, and I'll give it to you. Pride of life. See all these things, the lust of the eyes. If you don't think He's real, when you get to heaven, ask the Lord how real He was that day. If you don't think He's real, go back and think about some real catastrophes that's taking place in the lives of people. Maybe some in your own family. Think about Job. Ask Job if he's real. Have you considered your servant? Here's the servant of God. And God says to Satan, have you considered him? He's real. And so, tonight we need to be aware of our adversary. We need to know that he is the devil. He's that old serpent. He's that cunning, deceiving, wicked Satan that embodies many times. His demons come in and take over the bodies of people and they do hideous things. That's how wicked he is. Demon possession is still real. And as I've said so many times, I think we see it more than we know we do, and we call it something else. But he's real. And before you go to bed tonight, I guarantee you, at least before you do very much tomorrow, that's probably true. I believe I'd be on pretty good ground to say, before we go to bed tonight, old Sleuthfoot will come to us and say, yeah, did God really mean that? He'll come along, he'll aggravate you. He'll come along and he'll bother you. Yeah, he's real. But I'm glad, thank God, we can resist him. We can submit ourselves to the Lord and resist him. He has to flee. You know how the Lord defeated the devil? With his word. For the scripture saith, if you want to defeat him, use the word of God. I'm glad tonight we have the message. We have the Lord. We have his word. We have an enemy, but we have overcome. May God help us to fight the battle till he comes for us. Let's stand together tonight. Let's have a verse of song. Maybe somebody's doing battle with the devil right now. I don't know. God does. Maybe you just need to cast it upon him. Casting your care upon the Lord. Past, present, future, everything. Just letting the Lord have his way. As we sing tonight, what number, Brother Bradley?